Hey, everybody, we are broadcasting live from the Sports Medicine Update, and we are on the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm Dr. Josh Hillen, University of Houston MAT program, and we are here with Ryan Collins, who's a physical therapist, and just talked about managing the squat and looking at rehab through performance. So, Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about, for those that weren't able to listen, tell us about rehab through performance. Walk us through what this means.
So a lot of times, get back to before. So they come in having had squatting exercise on their own. And that's one of the major goals to achieve is the squat. Also, important exercise to optimize performance. What I talked about from the beginning of rehab all the way, using the squat formation to an appropriate will hopefully to optimize.
So let's go back to the beginning, right? So you talked about utilizing the squat from the beginning, trying to program them to do well. So, like, for instance, let's use my son. My son is 16 years old. He's playing football at Clear Falls High. I think they're doing a great job down there, and he's really put on a lot of size. As a father, I'm able to work with a little bit using my background, but I really kind of want to be the dad. So as a professional, what do the parents know? What are the coaches? And let's go back even squat. How are you using squat to assess the corrections that you?
So I would think the first thing, the individual, they don't have everybody's variation and how their variation is.
So kind of the old school method of when I was growing up, if your butt's not hitting the ground, then you're just not squatting. That's not necessarily true. Not necessarily functional.
No, it's not necessarily. Unless you are a specific sport, you have to meet a certain depth or in order to get under. But the way I think set up, that shouldn't hold true. And hopefully they put them at the.
So now the question becomes this. What are some takeaway messages that you want people to know? Your lecture, right? You did an outstanding lecture. I think you're informative. I always learn a lot when I'm. But give me, let's say, five things. And I want you to tailor, how can we get this information back to the parents? How can we get it back to the coaches that may not know what you articulate geometry?
So the first thing you apply their optimal unweighted, unsupported, you see what depth through where they can still maintain proper back starting to round, if these are starting, all those things stress to the fleet should understand where their optimal positions are.
What's an easy way? So, you know, I remember FMS came out on scene, right? And everybody's using FMS. I still think it's a valuable. You know, how do you measure optimal? Do you use something like the FMS squat or?
Similar to the overhead. But I would say unloaded, in an unloaded position, you should be able to see other areas. You put load on them, on their back. You don't want that back. Ideally, it's knee dominant where the back is stable. So what I would say would be is, you know, getting an idea of what the depth that they go through before you start to see from that point, really control from a lot of times athletes come in, they'll be able to, or you start to see weight shift. And it's at that point where the athlete can feel it, but also the coaches at school.
I mean, they need to be able to observe it.
See that change and say, stop there. Mm-hmm. Right? If you can't control any below this point, loading past that because you're not getting the adaptation.
Okay, so that's kind of take-home message number one. What's take-home message number two for you?
Technique's going to be more important. You can put 225 pounds on your back squat and your back more to get. If you can maintain optimal technique all the way down and up, you're putting the muscles stress. Those muscles are going to get more of the stress. They're also to adapt the rules of hypertrophy. You stress the muscle, reduce the fatigue, you put that breakdown. They're going to get also maintaining that technique. So don't change up a back squat to a front squat to low bar squat, an overhead same program. Initially, when they first start, nail down one technique. The better you get at moving, better your body is going to allow you to
adapt that stress. Are there any exercises that you can recommend? Now, we're still on point number two. Any exercises that you can recommend to help these young athletes, even to help college athletes, to help pro athletes? You know, a lot of times people one-legged squat. They're using one-legged Romanian deadlifts. What? Give us some of the tools that you have in your toolbox.
I think if you're earlier on, some of the younger that sounds so on body weight, you can get decent information from split squat, bilateral, or even just a single leg squat. Just with once they can perform a certain depth, if it's an injury, you want to make sure on one, the right side, the left side. If it's a bilateral squat, you want to progressing like a kettlebell where you're putting in a goblet squat. Dan researching progressions. Dan John, hold it up here. It's a goblet squat. You're going through a range of motion, which is important down the road, progressing to.
And so what's take home message number three now? So we have the first one with making sure that we're assessing. The second one is form. Number three.
Take home number three, I'd say you want to make sure you're loading a front squat or it's a back squat. As a practitioner, as an athlete, if you have pain, there are variations that you can still get optimal adaptation that don't impact.
Let me stop you there. Let's talk about pain, right? Because when I was playing football, you know, pain is just in the body.
There's a difference between
hurt, right? Yeah, so explain that, right? Like what are some tell your athlete quads are on?
Well, I think when you're trying to strength train, necessity. And so if you're at the bottom of your squat, you knee pain, and that's not something that you coach as a dad, as the therapist, having those athletes tell you what they do. If you have, you know, anterior knee pain, I'll see a lot of potential where guys come back too fast. They start to see they can't squat, kneel, front part of their knee is killing them. There's variations that minimize about a box. Good adaptation. Still practice the patterns, but minimize.
Yeah, no, I get choked up. Okay. So now let's go on to what's take home number four?
You don't just have to squat for the purpose of squatting, some variations, loads, accommodating.
And so Bob Marley was just looking at me, and I'm thinking as you're talking. Notice my face.
Let me jump in real quick. Ryan, you talked about the toe over the knee is bad in your presentation. And I kind of got lost because I felt like you said the toe over the knee is bad, and then you said we need to get rid of that myth. So can you explain that to me?
So when your knees go over your toes at the same time that your heels come off, you're unable to maintain a good base support, and that weight is to be transferred in deeper knee flexion have been shown to stress the patellar tendon and stress the patellofemoral joint. All right? Though every squat variation is going to have a different amount of anterior knee displacement. So if you have a goblet squat, there's a lot of in translation. You can't perform a front squat and a goblet squat without that move. And so that doesn't make it a bad exercise. If you go and take...
It just means it's not a good exercise.
Correct. If that's something that causes problems. So earlier on, let's say you have a guy who has, and you're trying to get him back on midway through the season. He's got some flared up knee. This guy's got to get stronger. Now he's taking 3 weeks off. He got this. He's feeling better. You need to make sure that he's strong enough. You go right into jumps and sprints and change of direction. Just the natural movement pattern. There's the anterior trend. You can't step down a step. You get up and down from a chair without excessively stressing your body without you. It's not a bad move, but whenever you do it improperly, or if your load is placed, so if the bar is on my back and I'm doing a back squat, but all my weight's on the ball of my foot and my heels are up in the air, I don't have a good weight shift. I don't have those forces equally in our body. So a lot of that stress is good. So the myth of knees over toes is bad for everything. So our understanding how to program over toes is more important. Knee pain, ACLs early on, guys who have a lot of knee issues, those variations where we minimize that. Somebody who's going to pick lift and catch, you go Google image an Olympic lifter at the clean, their knees are crazy.
You're trying to reverse that torque to get back up.
Studies show that deeper the knee flexion, the safer your mitts are because of wrapping it. It's not like you're, which has kind of been the myth, was that the more knee you go, the more torque on the knee. Well, yeah, but you're also, hopefully, muscles optimal. I think that's when you saw the picture of the girl going to a back squat, her knees going full, literally folded in half. So much amounts of hip flexion and lumbar spine flexion, and you're asking for your injury, and you're not getting...
So it's really there. I mean, there are a lot of myths kind of come along with that. If you don't have somebody that has the appropriate knowledge that can coach people through really weight training, especially at the... I can tell you what it was like at my high school. The coach that was... I mean, this is back in like 1992. Weightlifting, right? And it just happened to a coach, and that's who as strong as fast as focused on form, but the more we form, the greater you have, and it's really about...
There's nothing beneficial about being strong.
Yeah, right. I like that one. Trademark. Okay, yeah, trademark. All right, so what's one more thing that you can give us? So we talked about assessment of movement. We talked about form. We talked about some of the myths just now, right? Can you give us something about how do we start, when we start seeing gains, when you're working with these athletes, you're trying, right? What do we look at some benchmarks at?
Well, so there's a standard refuted, and, I talked to a squat two times your body. Research has shown, when you break it down, that that benchmark for an athlete has been shown to be higher. If you can meet that standard, I think what ultimately, depending on the power lifter, the soccer player, is the soccer really heavy at a slow velocity, or does it go across the swing that weight with as much velocity as possible? So a high force, low velocity lift is beneficial for when you come across as possible. Whenever I am trying to sprint or jump with just my body weight at velocity. So
yes, I think... It goes back to simple understanding power.
Sure, the said principle, right? So if we're going to program the squat into the spectrum sport, looking at the individual position they play, a lineman's going to be different than a receiver. You want to make sure that your training is those different. Two times back squat might be important, but you also, this guy is also, he's got to be able to jump up at a certain height, right? And you can't just achieve that by the maximum. So I would say, based on their position, based on the stresses and velocities of sport, that's kind of where you're
good.
Benchmarks would kind of be sport independent.
Now your email?
Ryan.Collins.
Very good. Ryan Collins, he's been on the podcast multiple times. So if nothing else, go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com and just click search and then Ryan Collins and you'll find him. And he's also helped out with some of the interviews at the update in the previous years. Ryan, appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Ryan.